I want to turn back real quick to Proverbs 4. We're going to jump into 5, and I don't know how much we'll get through tonight. My hope is we get right there 1 through 6. I was going to try to do 1 through 14, but the more I started studying, I said we're not going to get that far, especially with me sharing the way I was going to share. But if you look in verse 23 of chapter 4, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. That's where he left off, you know, 3 weeks ago, whatnot. We come into 24. You see that? Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put devious speech far from you. When I was studying and when I was looking it all up, and these are things that I saw. Pastor Gary didn't pull me to the side afterwards. But I saw, now he has before, but this wasn't it. But to see that word put away and put, they're both in the causative. It means you're going to be caused to do this. What I believe the Proverbs 4 was trying to tell us is, if you'll watch over your heart, if you'll desire to watch where your affections go, if you'll desire to make sure you're going, I need to keep my heart focused on what is pleasing to God and God alone, then what will come out of that is that deceitful mouth to be put far from you. You won't want to deceive. You'll find yourself wanting to be clear, wanting to be transparent. You'll be transparent about your own faults and your own failures, because you won't want to cover them up. You'll also want to be honest about something that may have happened. As much as it may hurt, as much as it may make me look bad, I've just got to tell the truth. Because you're guarding your affections are to please God. And if that is your affections to please God, then what will come, you will cause, it'll come out of you without you even knowing it. It will just be there. The deceitful mouth will be put away from you. It won't be a part of you. And then the devious speech will be put far from you. That is to say, those that are having devious speech, you won't want to be around them. You'll just find yourself not even wanting to be around them. You'll find yourself wanting to not be around that which can be devious, hurtful, twisting of the truth, twisting of certain things that are honorable. You will not want to be around it. And then you go into 25, he'll say, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. That is to say, human nature, and we're talking, Proverbs is written to young men, right? It's just like young people, or the eyes are going to wander. No, you need to keep a guard on your heart. You need to be watching ahead of you, because we know there's people that are, stumbling blocks are out there. People are trying to deceive. People want you to stumble. Sin wants you to stumble. He goes, so pay attention, son, to what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing and where you're going. Watch the path of your feet in verse 26, and all your ways will be established. Watch the way you're living your life. But if you're going to guard your heart, these things are going to come out of you. If I can put it this way, this is the proof. This is the test. If you are watching over your heart, and let me stop here for a second. I really appreciate in 25, or 24, it doesn't put a face on it. It's very important that we see this. It says it doesn't matter who the face is or what the face is. If that is a part of them, then there's going to be a disconnect. There's going to be a shunning away from that devious speech. But it doesn't put a face on it. It says, listen for the speech. Listen to what's being said. Because if it's what's being said, and you know that it's devious, he said, you're automatically going to go, I can't condone that. I don't want to be around that. We covered some of that part. The other part of it, if you're watching over your heart, for instance, the heart is the center of your emotions, your feelings, your affections, your will. It's kind of what it means, Leb. If you don't watch over your heart and you allow your affections or you allow something else to come in and corrupt the way you think, then what's going to happen is your guard's going to get down and you're going to find yourself not putting away those things. You're going to find yourself wanting to twist certain things, and that's how you're going to know. So the test is, if you are watching over your heart, then verses 24, 25, 26, and 27 will be the proof of it. Does that make sense? That'll be the result that comes out of that, because it's in the causative. So watch the path of your feet. And if you'll do this, for instance, watching the path of your feet, you're being mindful of how you're living your life. you're not just letting yourself go do whatever you want. You're actually taking into consideration, that's going to be where Proverbs 5 comes in. That's going to be a part of it. I believe 4 is telling us you need to watch over your heart. 5 is going to tell us this is how you do it. And so we'll kind of get there. But watch the path of your feet and your ways will be established. And then 27, we talked about that for a minute, which kind of brought it all together 2 weeks ago. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. That word right would really be talking about putting your trust in your own strength, because it's your strong hand, dexterity. And the left is almost that which is hidden. So you can look at it, you don't turn to the right and try to put your trust in your own strength, your own ways, your own thinking. And don't try to cover that up either. Or, i.e., don't go into the realm of deception either. But I think it both kind of ties into you putting your trust in your own intellect, your own will, your own thought, your own way of doing something. Don't do that and then try to cover it up. You know, you don't want to be caught doing that. He goes, that would be evil. That's going to be hurtful to you. So that word evil is always going to tie in. It's going to have an aspect. It's going to tie in to those that are doing what's hurtful, doing that which is going to be hurtful to themselves and hurtful to others. You start trying to walk into your own strength because you've allowed that heart to love the wrong things, or somehow another thing that I would say. Remember last week I said, not only do we have to watch out for the stumbling blocks on the outside, we've got to watch out for the stumbling blocks on the inside. Everybody out there is not just the sinners. I'm the sinner too. I've got that sinful nature inside me too. So I can very easily, this is why 1 Corinthians 13 says, love doesn't take an account of wrong suffered. If I'm taking in an account of wrong suffered, you know that'll corrupt that heart, and you know that that'll open the door to 24. If you start going in and you start getting upset, rather than trusting that God's ordained that, whatever happened in my life, okay, God, this is for my good. I need to hear this. I remember at different times, it says a wise man loves reproof in Proverbs. And I remember when Aunt Connie was teaching Michelle, she says, you know, we need to be willing to hear correction no matter how it comes. And we need to teach our kids that. And so no matter how that correction comes, I need to be ready to hear it. And I remember her teaching that to Michelle. And I would always come home and Michelle would share with me the things Aunt Connie taught her that day. And I remember getting convicted and upset, you know, and she wasn't even teaching me. And I remember at times going upset. And but nevertheless, I wanted to make sure that I tried to simplify that 23 through 27. If you're watching over your heart, where your affections and your desires and your pursuit, if you're going to watch over that with all diligence, understanding that that's where I'm connected with God, and that's my relationship with God, it hinges on that. If you're doing that, then verse 24 will flow out of you. If 24 has interrupted somewhere, that hinge, you're going to find it starting to crumble. Different truths, biblical principles, faithfulness, loyalty, you're going to find some of that crumbling. You're going to find compromise come into your life. So that's a part of finishing that chapter 4 out. If you look with me in chapter 5, because of the season that I feel like I'm in, I know I'm a dad, and I know I just raised I have a 19-year-old here, but other than that, I kind of have young sons. So a part of the way that I see Proverbs is more from a son mindset. So I realize there's a dad that's coming, and my father in heaven is writing these things out. We know it's Solomon writing to his son and saying, okay, son, I want you to be a wise young man. We know that Rehoboam was supposed to come in Solomon's place and reign as a king. As Christians, according to Zechariah, we're not supposed to be stuck in the valley. We're not supposed to be settling for mediocrity. That God wants us being leaders in the world, wherever we are, lights to the world. But one of the ways that I like to look at it is that God's word written on this page, Solomon to Rehoboam, so be it. I almost see myself in Rehoboam's position, if that makes sense to you. And so one of the ways I like to kind of title some of the Proverbs is a wise son. A wise son what? if in fact I'm going to hear everything that God is writing down through Solomon, if I'm going to hear it in a wise son, if this is going to make me a wise son, and I'm going to receive all this into my heart, what is it I'm receiving? So what do we feel like this Proverbs 5 is going to try to convey to me? And a wise son will do what? A wise son. So even when I go back to like Proverbs 1, I'm saying a wise son receives warning. He does not reject it. And so that's what a wise son would look like. A wise son's going to receive that warning. He's not going to reject it. He says, don't go the way of sinners. It's going to cost you. A wise son, or let me put it another way, a wise Christian, a wise Christian individual, a wise son, a wise daughter of God, a wise son of God. So a wise son seeks godly wisdom, not man's. That would be Proverbs 2. Proverbs 3, a wise son relies on God's wisdom, not his own. Proverbs 4, a wise son guards his heart. He does not let it run free. So Proverbs 4 would be proof that you are watching over your heart. The proof that's there. Now Proverbs 5, I believe, is going to come in. And one of the titles that I have, and I believe I can almost pull two major fundamental biblical principles out of it, which we can always pull more going by paragraphs. But a wise son values fidelity. And then another part of it, what I have, is a wise son begins to consider things. So to me, I kind of lean on both of those. But what's unique is you'll see as he begins to bring verse 1 and 2 will kind of give us a thrust. I want you to observe discretion, son. Why? Because sin is going to be so alluring in your life. Now, here's the key part. If you look at me in verse 18, I believe we're going to see the valuing of fidelity coming in. It's going to be a protection in your life when you love the right thing, son. So when I tell you, you're going to want to love God, you're going to want to love God's ways. He goes, so you know how like you have a young man marries a wife? He goes, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay. If you look at me in verse 18, let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, not somebody else's, right? So verse 18, now you guys can read verse 19, and we'll probably get to that next week or the week after. Try explaining that to teenagers when you're teaching the youth. Because I went through this book teaching the youth. So that was a unique study. And actually, Alex Wu was in there at that time when we went through this particular passage. And so that was a unique trying to talk through this with teenagers. Yes, I thought y'all would get a laugh out of that. So let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. And he goes, okay, so you see like how the encouragement I'm telling you to value that fidelity, son? He says, because if you don't, sin will come in and allure you away because she is very alluring. And sin has major consequences. He says, but a part of the way that you're going to guard that heart, building on chapter 4, a part of that way is you're actually going to see value and fidelity. And you're going to cherish that with that young bride. He goes, for instance, with that young wife, with that young bride, if you've ever watched Young Love, like when we watched Jeremiah and Sarah first starting, and now we got Donald and Rachel. And I remember watching these young couples in love, and I go, man, I just love Young Love. Babies and Young Love, I don't think there's anything more beautiful on this earth than watching Babies, one of my favorite, and then Young Love. Man, they're so smitten with each other, everything disappears. They can't see anything. They forget everything. And you're like, did you do this? Nah. Mm-mm. What'd you do? I was like, hung out. Okay. He goes, but you see how that affection is there, that passion is there? He said, it's the same thing with your relationship with God. You don't want to lose that. And so it's good periodically to go back and go, as David would say, return to me the joy of my salvation. You know, because sometimes you get saved long enough and you start, man, you go through some different things and the world beats you down and some trials come in. And before long, you start losing the joy of that salvation. And there's times when you got to come before God and you got to say, God, return to me the joy of my salvation, of your salvation. Return to me the joy of your salvation is actually what it says. God, you got to, as he, and Paul comes to Timothy, he says, kindle afresh the gift of God that he gave you, son. You got to kindle that. You got to spark it. You can't let it go out, because that's going to be a safeguard in your life. So as Christians, it's good for us periodically to come back and say, okay, Lord, you see how I'm supposed to be passionate like that young wife, how I'm supposed to be passionate about her? It's the same way you want me to be about my relationship with you, because sin is so alluring. He goes, and if you'll stay there each day going, Lord, there's a wisdom aspect here, a self-discipline aspect that Paul would talk about with Timothy. You know, there's a self-discipline that he's talking about, coming in and saying, okay, Lord, I know this is what I need to be with you today. Because if I'm not, then how easily that old slippery sin will try to come in and get me off course, buddy. And she will. And she never stops. Not only do I have that sinful nature inside of me, there's also that allurement out there. So we're going to go back. And so one of the points I have here is a wise son values fidelity. And we're going to kind of see how one of the words actually will actually kind of build on that. It'll use the word guarding fidelity. It'll be one of the ways that it's explained. And I believe it's the word knowledge. So we'll get there. But a wise son considers. So verses 1 through 6, one of the points that I have here is we're discerning sin. We're stepping back, and we're not going to be naive. And we're not going to be just believing gullible any old thing, you know. I'm going to step back, and I'm going to see the wisdom and the knowledge that God's Word has given me, and I'm going to go, okay, I can see that. I understand what he's telling me. And I'm going to log it in right here, and I'm going to go, okay, Lord, you help me keep remembering this, because I can see what your Word says, and I want it to be stored right here in my mind and right here in my heart, Lord. So we're going to pick up in 1. My son, give attention to my wisdom. So I love that word, give attention. We're hearkening up the ears. We're listening. Incline your ear to my understanding. Have you guys ever heard that? Mr. Sonny will say it every now and then. Let me bend your ear for a minute. You guys ever heard that? That word incline would be to bend your ear. So you know when people in the world go, let me bend your ear for a minute? That's actually the God's word incline right there. So incline your ear to my understanding that you may observe discretion. The word observe is going to tie into guarding, but in this particular case, he's talking about listen to what I'm telling you. Follow the dictates. Listen to what I'm saying. And this word discretion, which is going to begin to tie in, give me a second here. This word discretion ties in to consider. Son, I want you to listen to what I'm saying, and I want you to consider these things. Because it's what I'm fixing to tell you is I want you to be aware of just how alluring sin can be in anyone's life, son. And you're going to be a leader, and you're going to be a Christian in this world. I want you to know it's how alluring this old woman can be. I want you to be aware, son. And we go into verse 3. For the lips of an adulteress drip honey, and smoother than oil is her speech. And we know the way that Solomon has written this, that wisdom would be the ways of God and the things of God. It's the way he says he wants, that's pleasing to him. It's an elegant, righteous, beautiful thing. And you got this old adulteress, which is a picture of sin. And so how do you talk to a young man and you say, listen, they both on the outside have a beauty, but there's one that is virtuous and brings great blessing into your life. And the other one, skin deep, she might be alluring to the eyes, and your senses might be allured, but she's going to bring great devastation into your life. That's sin. And he says, that's how you got to see it, son. I'm going to paint a picture for you, and I want you to consider this. I want you to think upon this, son, and I want you to have the freedom to make a decision. You're your own man. You make a decision, son. But I'm going to lay it out for you, and I'm going to paint the picture for you. Now you have to choose. Consider, son. So we come in. For the lips of an adulteress, they drip honey. They're smoother than oil is her speech. So what I would probably say with verse 3 is sin is alluring and unassuming. And one of the things that we see, and I'm trying to hurry. Introduction took a long time. I get it. We see in our society today with shows like The View, we have a bunch of women, we got a panel, and they're real good at talking points that are anti-Christ, but it's from a woman's point of view. And man, it just takes our whole country by storm. It's just unassuming. And before long, we think that those women are experts in our society. You watch them long enough, and I'm going to tell you, everybody, they're just clapping. You know what I heard on The View today? And it's just so easily. It, maybe not for us because we're Christians. But I'm trying to tell you, society is swept up with those women. It's unbelievable just how much influence they have, but it's unassuming. The other thing that I've been watching with the big abortion battle, with the politics that is going on right now too, is that they will take literally the most heinous part of a situation and they will make commercials and commercials, and they will try to paint something that's the most grim and the most brutal to try to pull on your heartstrings to get you to be okay with killing an innocent life. And if you listen long enough and you listen to the arguments long enough, it'll have you going, well, I don't know. I mean, that is a heinous act that happened. That is terrible that happened. How come she should have to be forced? No. What should be said in a society that's desiring to honor God, that's trying to point people to the Lord is, I thought Romans 8:28 said that God causes all things to work together for good. I thought Scripture says that only God creates life. Is it possible what man meant for evil that God's going to use for good? And these are the answers that society needs, the society that we're living in. And how I long to have, but this is what the church is for. It's not what the government's for. But we want men that would stand up within leadership roles, whether it's the government. I would love nothing more for that. But it is especially the church's role. I desire to have men be raised up in our country that would proclaim, no, we believe this. And I believe personally that if some of these men would have the courage to say these things, I believe the hearts of those looking for truth would be so pricked that they would start coming. But I'm praying that there would be men that would have the courage to say it, whether they win office or not. But anyhow, so we keep going. So what sin's going to be is alluring and unassuming. They're going to make sin commonplace so that before you even know it, the influence is there. This honey, oil in her speech, verse 4. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. The wormwood is going to be like a poisonous hemlock. The two-edged sword is going to be dangerous and hurtful. So sin is going to be dangerous and hurtful. I remember surfing when I was young, and we'd be surfing out there for hours, and you would get so thirsty. I remember I go, I'm going to try to drink it. And I'm going to try to drink it. And I took a big old gulp of that salt water, and I got sick to myself. I couldn't drink it. There was no quenching my thirst with that stuff. It was way too bad. And you realize, okay, it's going to be alluring, but before you know it, like poison, you done drunk it down and you're feeling good, and then boom, you're dead. You're locked up. You're stoved up, which takes us to our next. So it's going to be hurtful and it's going to be dangerous. Sin's going to be hurtful and dangerous in your life, son. And it's going to affect all those around you. We come into verse 5. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold of Sheol. You realize death is what leads to darkness, obscurity, uncertainty. And I like the way Mr. Sonny had put it one day. He said, you know what death is? Death is separation. He said, death is what separates you from your loved ones. Death is what separates you. So you'll find yourself, and then Sheol is the underworld, the place of no return. So you realize what sin's going to do is going to make you inactive. It's going to make you idle. It's going to take away your strength. It's going to put you in bondage. And when you think about it, even in the world today, we have trappers. How do trappers trap? Well, they put something in that trap that the appetite or the instinct cannot deny. And I believe it was Pastor Greg that was talking the other day, that the instinct and the appetite is so strong within an animal, which is no accident why 2 Peter and Jude would liken normal carnal man to beasts and animals. The appetite and the instinct is so strong that they can't stay away from it. Man is led by his appetite and instinct, but not the Christian. No. Well, we have the light of Christ in us, and he says, okay, it's alluring. It's going to cause pain. It's going to cause heartache. It's going to bring you to a place of separation and bondage. So you want to kind of find yourself and ask yourself, are any of these things kind of a part of my life? And if they are, I need to go back to that chapter 4 and go, okay, what came into the soil of my heart? What came in and brought the corruption? Where did I get off track, Lord? And you start going in and process of elimination. And usually what I found, God goes, you'll go up and God gives it to you and you go, there it is. That's where I went wrong. And from that point, like sailing, what was taught to me as well is if that dock gets off just a little bit and you're going a long distance, you'll be in a complete wrong spot and you'll miss where you were going. So verse 6, she does not ponder the path of life. Her ways are unstable. She does not know it. So if I could put it to you this way, sin does not care about you. Sin will take you to a place where you're on, your peace is gone, your joy is gone, but sin doesn't care about you. But let me see if I can put it to you this way. So here's 4 points I'd like to leave you with, of 4 points of sin tonight. My writing's pretty small. I'm cramming it all in here, so please forgive me. Sin wants to allure you, but God wants to embrace you. God wants to love you, but sin wants to pull you away. Sin will hurt you, but God wants to help you. But that sin instinct wants to pull us away, wants to bring hurt in our life when we get into it. Sin will separate you and put you in bondage, and God will enrich you. But that honey looks alluring. He goes, yes, son, but you gotta get past the eyes. And you gotta listen to what I'm saying, son. Stop letting the lust of the eyes, don't listen to these eyes. They'll get you in trouble. Listen to the word of God, son. Listen to what God is saying, son. That's what'll keep you. And then the last one here is sin will not care for you, but God will. And the way I'm writing it, the way I'm saying it is because that old sin for nature and sin that likes to allure us, that we begin to think upon the wrong things or pursue the wrong things or give in to the wrong things, or the sin that's out there that's alluring, it's always going to lead me to a place of brokenness, separation, loneliness, despair. It's going to bring destruction in my life. And my peace will be gone and my joy will be gone, but not with God. And he says, son, I want you to understand. I want you to have discernment in this life. And I want you to discern that there's certain things that I want you to be aware of. It's very alluring and it'll bring great destruction in your life. And son, I'm putting this into where we are today. And as a Christian, I want you to be aware of this. For him, he's talking to a son that was going to reign as a king. For us, I'm talking to us as Christians. Son, you're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're called to a different standard. Now let's go. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you, we continue to lift up those in the path of this storm in our country. Lord, you've ordained calamity. You tell us that. To the ins and out, to what degree, that is your department. We don't even want to get involved in that. So Lord, where I stay is, you've ordained calamity. You tell us that in Isaiah 45. We believe that. Lord, we also believe the other part of that verse is so that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that you are God and that there is no Savior besides you. So, Lord, through this calamity that you're bringing into our country today, as we heard tonight, we're seeing souls being saved and turning to you. Lord, you're causing deep contemplation. You're stirring up the hearts of your people to minister. And so, God, I thank you. I thank you for the work that you're doing. I do, Lord, pray, strengthen us to discern that old sinful nature, Lord, that likes to try to pull us away from you, that tries to want to allure us away from you, Lord, that we recognize it and we say, no, 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 no. I've seen this show before and I'm not going down that road. Lord, may you strengthen us in these days ahead to be loyal to you, to value fidelity, and Lord, to discern properly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.